What happened to the princes in the Tower is one of history's biggest unsolved mysteries. 12-year-old King Edward V and his 9-year-old brother vanished without a trace in 1483. Their uncle, Richard III, has long been suspected of ordering their murders. But now, something extraordinary about the princes in the Tower has been discovered at the National Archives in Kew. Professor Tim Thornton from the University of Huddersfield has found a reference to a chain belonging to the elder prince being bequeathed in a will in 1516. The will was written 33 years after the princes disappeared in the Tower by a member of Sir James Tyrrell's family. The reference to Edward's chain is in a registry copy of the will of Dame Margaret Capel, Sir James Tyrrell's sister-in-law. Thomas More claimed Tyrrell organised the murder of the princes for Richard III when he wrote his unpublished The History of Richard III. No record of the confession exists, and modern historians have dismissed this as inaccurate Tudor propaganda. The discovery raises the question, how did such a personal possession of 12-year-old Edward V end up in Margaret Capel's possession? Did it come to her by fair means or foul? I've spoken with Dr. Sean Cunningham, head of medieval records at the National Archives in Kew, to find out if this news is proof the princes were murdered. Very exciting news, I gather, today coming out of the National Archives. Can you explain what it is, please?
Yes, and as a historian who's been working for a long time on Thomas More and the princes in the Tower, trying to connect the story Thomas More tells about Richard III and the death of the princes in the famous Shakespeare play. But we've got some real records that actually connect the people involved in the play with real history. And one of the more recent discoveries is an item that belonged to the elder of the princes in the Tower, Edward V, who was a 13-year-old uncrowned king. It's a chain that belonged to him, which appears in a will in 1516. From a widow of a London merchant, but it's described as a chain belonging to Edward V, which is unusual so far after Edward's alleged disappearance and death, to have something described so precisely. So it's his item, his goods, his possessions, which Professor Thornton's been trying to reconnect to the story to see what happened to the princes, what happened to the things they owned when they disappeared. And this is a little clue as to the people connected to the story through Shakespeare and Thomas More's writing to the actual events, because the woman who's possessing the chain in 1516, she was the half-sister of the wife of the man who was alleged to have organised the killing of the princes in the Tower, Sir James Tyrrell. So this is an intriguing connection of information which doesn't quite create a straight line of accusation and evidence, but it certainly adds a bit more to the story, which makes everyone go, there's quite a bit of connectivity there, quite a bit of circumstantial evidence.
It's probably one of our most controversial stories, isn't it? And we don't know what happened. What do we think or suppose happened to the princes?
Yes, it's a mystery, and it has been since they disappeared in the summer of 1483. Edward IV died quite suddenly at the start of April, and his eldest son, Prince Edward, was living in the Welsh Marches at Ludlow Castle, and was immediately presented as the next king, and everyone swore allegiance to make sure he could be made king. But on the way to London, he was intercepted by his uncle, Richard, Duke of Gloucester, and brought to the Tower of London, and eventually his younger brother, Richard, also joined him in the Tower from Sanctuary in Westminster Abbey. So the two princes were in the Tower. Richard declared that they were illegitimate, that their father had had a pre-contract of marriage, and that therefore when they were born, they were illegitimate children and therefore couldn't inherit the throne. And then Richard claimed the throne for himself as the next legitimate heir of their father, the Duke of York. So that meant that the prince in the Tower kind of gradually disappeared from public view. The Tower wasn't a closed prison. It was a royal residence. It was where the Royal Mint was based, with stores of armour and goods in the basements of the Tower. So lots of people came and went in the Tower, but eventually they stopped seeing the princes in the public spaces. And by the autumn, a lot of people believed them to be dead. There was a big rebellion across southern England, and a lot of the people who tried to either free the princes or find out what happened to them were forced to flee overseas to join Henry Tudor, who later became Henry VII. And that's why we have the Tudors. But the storyline for the princes in the Tower disappears by the end of 1483. So we don't know what happened to them. There was allegations made mainly through the chroniclers that Shakespeare relied upon to build his his story for the play, Richard III. And that allegation was that Richard, as the king, was in charge of access to the tower and the locked rooms in the tower. He basically gave the order for Sir James Tyrrell and other of his kind of close household friends to make sure that the princes disappeared permanently. Other stories suggest that they were sprung from the tower and that they escaped. And the most recent research by Philippa Langley and her fellow researchers, certainly looking at records on the from the continent, suggests that maybe one or two of them did reappear later on to threaten the Tudor succession. But we don't really know if these were true identifiable princes or if this was just a fabrication to make people change their minds about being loyal to Henry VII and the Tudors because they really felt a sense of tragedy about the loss of the princes. And if they had survived and escaped to reappear decades later, then people owed them their loyalty and the claim of the Tudors to rule England was invalid. So that's why the survival of the princes was important in this period from sort of 1485 through to 1520, because as long as Henry VIII didn't have a male heir, which he didn't at this time, and Henry VII had his own problems about pretenders and people trying to claim to be these escaped princes and to rally this support against the Tudors, it was a really important strand in kind of where people's loyalty lay and how the government kept control of what people thought and believed, because that sort of translated into loyalty and service. So if people were unsure whether the king should really be in a position to rule them and that there was somebody else with a better claim out there who deserved their loyalty, this was dangerous stuff for the Tudors to worry about. And it meant that the story of the princes either had to be completely refuted as much as the evidence allowed, or it just had to be suppressed as something people talked about. And that was really the line that Henry VII followed. We're not going to say anything about the princes. We're going to hide this story and make sure people focus on loyalty to the Tudor crown. But obviously, Henry VII's enemies wanted that story out in the open. So this is why occasionally you get people claiming to be the younger of the princes, Prince Richard, who was actually Perkin Warbeck, an imposter from Belgium who was trained up to pretend to be a courtier prince. Or even the Earl of Warwick, who was a nephew of Richard III, who had proper royal blood, was presented as a rival claimant for much of the 1490s. So real problems for the Tudors in keeping control over what people believed and how they should stay loyal.
How has this possession ended up where it is? And does that lead us to believe that they actually were murdered?
Yes, because it's claimed that this is a chain that belonged to Edward V. So it wasn't something he gave out as a gift or a present. It was something he would have worn. And the allegation is that because it's come to Margaret Capel's possession through her husband, and Margaret herself was the half-sister of Sir James Tyrrell's wife, the claim is therefore that there's a personal connection there. And this item's been transferred mainly on the quiet, behind closed doors, almost like a family heirloom, to say this belonged to Edward V. So how did it come into the possession of the Capels and therefore the Tyrrells? And the assumption is that that link between Sir James Tyrrell and the imprisonment of the princes and possibly their death means that it came into his possession because he was an agent or an actor in their deaths in 1483 or during Richard III's reign. So that's the assumption that the evidence is trying to point to and the interpretation that's placed on it. Obviously, there's a whole number of possibilities and what ifs in between that. But the fact that it's described as Edward V's chain makes it a personal item of his, which is quite unusual and a precise way to present it in 1516, when he would have only been known as Edward V for a very brief time between April and July 1483. So it's hanging on to that story that the prince was a figure with a separate identity and an identity that deserved people's loyalty. But I guess it means that it makes it harder to refute it.
There's been so many clues that we've found over the years, but nothing's been concrete. So do you think this is something that's now concrete that tells us definitively that they were murdered?
No, it doesn't say that. It does create a different way of asking questions about what happened in 1483 and about how people framed this as their lives progressed after that time. So how did the Tudors justify their position? How did people bury what they believed to stay loyal and to basically preserve their status under a different regime? So people had their thoughts and beliefs, and occasionally these things bubble up, which show that there was a connection and a legacy and a memory to these earlier figures who had the right to rule, but their opportunity was snuffed out by politics and ambition earlier in the medieval, or earlier in the Tudor period, or at the very end of the 15th century. So it makes it difficult to say, but again, history is kind of built on all of these little bits of evidence being joined together and analysed and discussed. And that's the only way you can start to find a fuller picture, because it's unlikely we'll ever find the statement written down that says, "I killed them, Gov." It's going to be one of those things where incidental and accumulative bits of information are going to change what we think, but it's going to take a bit more research. And to be fair to Professor Thornton, he's done a lot of this kind of digging to counterbalance other work which is ongoing to show that maybe the survivors, the pretenders in the Tudor period, were the princes, that they did survive. This is awaiting it in the other direction, to say a bit more evidence to show they did die, and that their possessions were distributed, and perhaps as gifts, perhaps they were part of kind of loan collateral, because Margaret Capel's husband was a London merchant, a draper, and he dealt in all sorts of trade. So there could be all sorts of reasons for this evidence of a chain coming into her possession. So it doesn't say for definite that the princes were killed by Sir James Tyrrell, but it makes us look at how this changes perceptions about this and other bits of evidence. So it's really just the weighing up of things and asking new questions, because this gives us a slightly different route to look for things, basically, through the archives. And again, you know, this has been discovered almost hiding in plain sight in a collection of copies of wills that have been
available. That was going to be my next question. The archives have been there many years, and how long has this been in the archives, and why are we only coming across it now?
Yes, so it's in a copy of a will, and these wills were written into gigantic registers at the time that the wills were proven. So this is from 1516, sort of 1518. Yes, the wills are freely searchable on our website and to anyone who comes to visit, but they're very densely written and you have to read each line. Some of them are in Latin in this period. This one's in English. It's part of a lot of bequests that Margaret Capel leaves to her children and her friends. So it's kind of been lost in the text, and I think only a close reading has spotted this reference to Edward V. So it's taken a lot of random research to stumble across this line, but clearly it's been there for anyone to find for the last 500 years. But it hasn't been noticed till now, and that's the way historical research works. Sometimes people have to look in a specific way for a particular thing, and then they come across what they're looking for. Other times it's just stumbled across. And I think in this case, Professor Thornton was looking for people connected to the Tyrrells and to this story of Edward V. And in focusing in on records relating to the Capel family, he's managed to find a really nice piece of new evidence.
Yeah, so I guess the records are there for everyone to see, and it takes people who are perhaps looking more in depth to a particular subject to find what they're looking for and then bring it to the world.
Well, that's right. We've got the records of the state here, the government and the crown, going back 1,000 years to Domesday Book. And there's really a lot of material from this period in the late medieval, early 16th century period. You know, for our kind of part of London, things about Hampton Court and Richmond Palace, all the stuff around how the crown worked as government in those days. So the volume of material is enormous, and you can understand why new things are found as people begin to search through the less well-trodden parts of the collections. So a lot of the things are linked to the money trail. Certainly things like wills are about bequests and valuing things. But the crown is obviously paying for everything, and those money trails really do give you the detail of what people are buying or transferring. And that's, I think, how historians are looking to link these things together and begin to use the archive basically to answer some of these long questions that have been puzzling people for centuries. And we'll probably never get to the definitive answer, but at least the archives, as they uncover a new nugget of information, give us new questions to ask.
This might not be the end. Things could still come out about the princes, but also many more treasures about other parts of history could be yet to be discovered.
Absolutely. And we're finding things every day that we have contact with these records. There's information about these famous figures from the past, but also everyone else's local and family history. It's all here in the way that the state organized itself and touched people's lives over the centuries.